can trust him because he's been faithful.
Right.
You know, I was thinking while we were doing the penny march, I know why parents love the penny march so much on Wednesday night. Because you run those kids about half to death, and they probably fall asleep on the way home, and you don't have to deal with them stirring up before you put them to bed at night. So we're going to keep doing that, praise the Lord. Proverbs 26 tonight, if you will. Proverbs 26, we want to begin verse number 17. And again, thank you so much for being here tonight. And a couple quick things to remember, church-wide visitation Saturday, May 27th. If you've not signed up, please do that. We'll go out at 10:30. Breakfast starts at 9:30 and bus worker meeting at 9:15. So if you haven't signed up for that, please do that. And also, we do have some flyers on the table. Brother Todd Monaghan will be with us on June the 4th, 10:30 and 5, preaching for us. And again, Brother Todd was with us a couple years ago. He's a great blessing, great soul winner. And he's a dear friend. And make sure you get some flyers, hand those out. We want to get all we can. We're going to take them out on bus visitation and get them to the bus kids, the bus riders. And I know it'll be a great blessing. So Proverbs 26, we want to begin verse number 17. Now, let's pay special attention to the comparison that we get in Proverbs. The Bible said, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him." That's important, isn't it?
Right.
Not to him. "Is like one that taketh a dog by the ear." I don't know how your dog is. You grab my dog by the ear, they're going to bite you.
Right.
Right? The Bible said in verse 18, "As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is," look at verse 20, very important, "where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." That's pretty, you know what I'm saying? Stops with you, doesn't go any farther. "As coal are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Now, we know the old saying, "Sticks and stones break your bones, words never hurt you." Well, that's not Bible, is it? The Bible said right here that they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. And he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him.
Right.
And when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation." Notice this, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him."
Right.
"And a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Speak to our hearts. God, may we be very careful of what we say. May we be very guarded against the words that proceed out of our mouth. And may we understand how they can damage and hurt.
Yes, right.
And Lord, may we all always speak those things that would edify and uplift our believers, our friends and family in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes,
may we bring honor and glory to the name of Christ in all things that we do. Thank you for loving us, even when we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here Solomon again is talking. Last time we looked at, he was saying, beware of sluggards, those that are lazy. Now he gives this advice, beware of those of self-importance. And again, it's amazing to me how our culture promotes that. I mean, pretty much everything about it. You want a following. You want to be an influencer. You are rewarded for having people follow you. And so it seems like everything, even in ministry, seems to be a greater push about my ministry and promoting my ministry, and I want to preach in different places and all this. And so the devil has all these tools to do that. And I think back to John the Baptist. The Lord himself said of prophets, of men born to women, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And then we go over to John chapter 3, verse 30. And he says, "I must decrease, he must increase." We look at Paul. Paul, no doubt, was one of the greatest Pharisees and really the greatest Christians that we've ever known. And he made no reputation of himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said that he came, he made no reputation of himself. And so it's just amazing to me that those that would name the name of Christ want to promote themselves, right? Want to promote their ministry or their singing ministry or whatever it is, when we are told over and over we're to humble ourselves and he must increase and I must decrease. And so people like to feel important. As a matter of fact, it's been said the greatest name that anyone will ever hear is their own name. If you want to impress somebody, remember their name. Now, let's be honest, most of us are not good with names, but when we have visitors and guests come in, you ought to do your best to associate them with their name and call them by name, right? And so it makes them feel important. And so some people like to put themselves in the middle of every situation and know all that's going on so they'll feel important. And that's really what this is dealing with. Listen, Brother John, they want to know all the details and they want to weigh out the good and the bad. They want to know the situation and I'll determine whether or not who's right in the situation. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. Now, it does teach us to judge, but we're not to judge before the time. And so we have to judge what's right and wrong, right? But a lot of times we as believers think, well, I need to know every detail about the situation. Brother Jerry, not that we would be informed, but really because we're just nosy. Right? I mean, let's be honest. Folks are nosy. I'll give you an example. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have gone by a car accident on the side of the road and just about had a car accident yourself by looking at the car accident, right? We want to know what's going on. Now they got all these groups, the North Davidson group and the Lexington group, and they're on there, and they're all talking about this, and people, what happened here? What's going up here? Why are the police cars down here? Sometimes it's better not to know, isn't it? So here we have to understand the wise man will mind his own business and tend to his own affairs. And be careful of those who seem to always be in the know, right? Now, I know preachers like this. Listen, they know everything that's going on, Brother Jimmy, about every church and every preacher and every ministry. And they'll say, have you heard this? Nope. Well, let me, nope. I don't want to know, right? So I just know they are in the know. They know all that's going on. You better be careful because they may know some stuff about you. So they are usually self-important and are doing things to elevate themselves. Listen, you know what? If you'll live for God. Matter of fact, here's what he said: if we'll make much of him, he'll make much of us. And what I found, whether it be business where you work, school, ball team, Christianity, there's a lot of folks that want to tear other people down to build themselves up. And most of the time, Brother Shane, the people that do that lack a self-worth, so they have to make themselves feel important by tearing other people down. Well, may I say this, that the ground is completely level at the foot of the cross. I don't care if you make $1 million a year or make $5 a year, you had to get saved by the same blood, and you're worth the same amount to God, right? What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? See, the important thing is the soul. It's not our status. And so here Solomon is warning about that. And so let me give you, I think I got 4 points. No, I only got 3 tonight. Praise the Lord. Shouldn't take long. The man, number one is the man who tries to stop something. Right. Look at verse 17. The Bible says this, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh the dog by the ears. Now here's the problem. There's a comparison here, and there's two different things I want to look at. First of all is the man that is interfering. Right? What we're seeing in verse 17 is the man that the Bible said he passeth by and sees something and starts meddling in it. Right. And so that person's stepping into something that doesn't concern them. Right. Listen to me, church. Stay out of it. Stay out of it. Mind your own affairs. Worry about what's going on in your world, right? And so what happens is people think in their mind they're helping, but they're really interfering. Here's the problem. There's always three sides to the story, right? His, and the truth. And when you weigh in on either side, what you're doing is you're basically telling the person, I'm on your side, and you don't know the whole story. So what's best, stay out of it and let God take care of it. So when you interfere, you think you're stepping into something to be a help. What you're doing is making things worse. God, listen to me, God can fix things a whole lot better than you can. There's been times as a pastor in 21 years, listen, I've said, no, God, I'm gonna fix that. I'll take care of it. And I look, and you know what I found, Brother Charles? If I would have got involved with it, I'd have blown the thing up. I'd have messed up. And God took care of it where there weren't hurt feelings and people weren't mad and people didn't leave the church. Listen, a lot of times if you'll stay out of it, God will fix the situation for you. Better be slow, right? We're to consider a matter. So here there are those who tries to stop something by interfering, but then also those that are intervening. There are times that you have to intervene. Listen, if someone is abusing their children, I'm going to step in. Just a couple weeks ago, this guy on the subway stepped in because this guy was acting erratic. And it was a tragedy what happened to him. But he stepped in because he was trying to defuse a situation. There are times that you have to, but don't go in there taking sides. Hello? You don't know the whole story. You know, they say that one of the most dangerous situations for a police officer is a domestic disturbance. Because they go in and all of a sudden, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so you had better be careful when you're intervening, stepping in when someone can't stand up for themselves, but not taking sides, right? I'm going to step in for people that cannot stand up for themselves. God has allowed me to be your under-shepherd. Somebody attacks you, I'm stepping in. Right? I want to protect you. I want to help you. And I want to, but here's the thing. Don't go out and get yourself in a mess. Then come say, preacher, be on my side. Amen. You ready for this? Tell you something else I see. Whether it be children or a spouse or a friend, people put you in a position, they'll say, well, you don't have my back. In other words, you're to have an unbiased opinion of what they do, and because you're their friend, their spouse, their mother, their father, whatever it is, you're just supposed to have their back. Well, I'm not going to do that. Hello, you shouldn't either. If something's wrong, in a godly way, you ought to say, no, this isn't right. Listen, fellas, can I help you with something? One thing would help a lot of men is for them to say, listen, honey, you're wrong here. I didn't say hateful. I didn't say dictator. But part of your job as the head of the home is to say, listen, now, I ain't talking about making her feel bad. I'm talking about just gently and godly correct and say, honey, I don't think you're right here. And here's what the Bible says about it. Well, you're not on my side. I am on your side. That's why I'm trying to help you not get in a mess. Amen. That's good preaching. You say, well, preacher, I bet you don't do that, Miss Ellen. Ask her. Listen, she'll tell you. There's been times I've been wrong, she's told me. That's all right, too. So the thing is, when you're intervening, sometimes it is right to step in to defend those who can't defend themselves. But you ought to do it in a way that honors God. Right? Do it the right way. Do it the right way. I can see right now some of y'all are going to go home and argue and fight. You ain't going to do that to me, what the preacher said. I still believe the book. Sir, if you're the head of the home, I ain't talking about being hateful. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about if you can't sit down with your wife, say, honey, listen now. I'm looking at this thing from a different perspective, and I think probably you could have said that a little bit nicer. If you can't say that, you got bigger problems, sir. And ma'am, if you won't let him say that to you, it ain't about having somebody's back. It's about doing what's right. Amen. That's good preaching. So the man who tries to stop something, I'm going to have to do a lot of counseling, ain't I, preacher? I'm going to do a lot. This is why you preach Proverbs at your church and don't go preach somewhere else, because then I never get to preach again, right? So the man who tries to stop something, number two is the man who tries to stir something. Verse 18 says this, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? So the man in verse 18, 19, the man full of guile. What do you mean? Responsible for the ruin of other people. There's some people just, they hate to see anybody thrive. Right? They hate to see, there are churches that hate to see any church do something for God. You know what they'll say? Must be compromising. Right? Church growing? You got to be compromising somewhere. Or maybe we knock on a few doors. Maybe we pray. Maybe we run some buses. I don't know if they are or not. That's not my business. I'm just saying every church that's growing is not compromising. Listen, every church that's not growing is not dead. That ain't my business. You know what our business is? Do the work. You know what God's business is? Bless however he sees fit. But there's also people that are responsible for the ruin of other people, and they don't have a problem with it, right? As long as they get ahead, they don't care if you're kicked to the curb. You better watch out for people that are always tearing everybody down, right? Because they're not godly. They don't love Jesus like they say they do. They don't have all the standards and convictions. They're not Bible believers like they say they are. You know what they are? They're gossipers and they're full of guile. Why? Because often when confronted, they say things like, well, I was only joking. Or I wasn't serious. Or I only did it out of concern. I went to Brother Shane about Brother Johnny because I was concerned about him. And I want Brother Shane to pray for him. That's wrong. I've had people come to me in 21 years of pastoring. They'll say, preacher, I want to tell you what's going on in so-and-so's life. And I ain't gossiping, but I'm concerned about them. Mm-mm. You're concerned about them, you go to them. Yeah, but you're their pastor. Well, if I'm their pastor and they have a concern about it, they'll come to me. I don't need you coming to me. Amen. Don't come to me talking about another church member. If you're that concerned about them, you go to them and say, listen, we need to sit down and talk because I've got some concern about something I saw. If you love them.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You're Brother Kenneth, I mean, is that right? But see, here's the thing. Most people today are cowards. It's a whole lot easier to do this. Then sit down eyeball to eyeball and say, Brother Johnny, listen now. I love you. You're my brother in Christ. And I seen something we got to talk about. Right? We shake our head, but listen, the man full of guy wants to tear everything down he can. There are people that will tear the church down, tear the family down, tear the business down, just so they can feel important. You better watch out for people like that. They're probably in your family. They're probably at your work. They're probably, some of them, I hope none of them's in our church, but there might be, there have been in times past, right? You better be careful who you listen to, who you befriend, right? Oh, Brother Jimmy, seems like he's in the know. He knows all that's going on. Well, he probably does what he thinks he knows. If you have concern, bring it to the person involved. That's biblical, right? Then there's the man full of gossip. Look at verse 20. I like this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. If you're like me, I've had wood and the fire still won't start up. So where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Here, you ever notice out west, those I don't know what to call them, those firemen go up in the woods and they have all them forest fires, and you know what they do? They'll cut down trees and they'll cut down brush and they'll rake dead stuff out of the way. You know what they're doing? Removing the fuel. They're removing the fuel. So the fire, the idea is the fire can go that much but doesn't have fuel to keep going. Wonder what would happen if God's people would remove the fuel. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Provides fuel to the fire of strife. I'm just amazed. In the day we live, Brother Bobby, how much strife and controversy is among God's people. I expect it out of the way. Listen, the politics, I expect it out of that, don't you? I expect from now till whenever, you're going to have all these ads. This guy's the devil. This guy's the devil. Look what he's done. And then they'll take a little thing, right? He voted to cut all the Medicare. Well, you didn't read the whole thing. They just took that little part out. Ah, we can't vote for him because he's trying to kill old people. Right? Got to keep the strife going. As long as you keep people upset with each other, you can do whatever. Right? But what would happen if God's people stopped fighting amongst themselves, just said, hey, we got one king, his name's Jesus, and we're going to do what he told us to do. So the man full of gossip, their words do damage deep into a person. There are people today, listen to me, church, there are people today that are not in church because they've been gossiped about. They'll never go back to church because they got hurt so bad. And I know, we don't come to church for that. We come to church to worship God. I know that. And that's what they ought to do. I know that. But before you ridicule them, understand that somebody who said they loved Jesus was the one that caused that wound. And they're still in church. And they're probably still doing the same thing that they did before. And you know what? They're doing it because there'll be somebody that'll say, really? I didn't know that. Your kid, did you hear that? There ought to be some fact checking going on. The fact checking ought to be, I don't want to hear it. Right? I don't want to hear it. Here's what I found, Miss Vonnie. I'd get zero calls. Zero. I'm not talking about one. I get zero calls from people wanting to gossip. Nobody calls me. Nobody. I don't, because you want to call and gossip? Man, I'll hang up on you. I won't even say bye. I don't hear that. You want to call me and say, listen, man, Brother Eddie, he did a good job leading that singing. I'll listen to that. You want to tell me, oh, I seen Brother Eddie and you know what? He did. I don't hear that. Let me ask you this. What do you do? Well, now, preacher, I don't want to hurt the friendship. Well, there's your problem. Maybe you're friends with the wrong person. See, gossip is a destroyer. It doesn't concern you. Keep your mouth shut. Close your ears, right? So the man who tries to stir something, the man full of guile, the man full of gossip, then in verse 23, the man full of gall. What's that mean? Notice the Bible said, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Well, here's the comparison. The potsherd is a broken vessel. It's an earthen vessel. It's not worth a whole lot monetarily, but it did serve a purpose. And then when you look at that verse 23, when you look at that silver dross, that isn't the good stuff, by the way. That is the trash on top of the silver when they purify. And so the comparison is an earthen vessel that kind of looks a little bit shiny, a little bit silvery, but it's not worth much because what it is, watch this, is just trash. A covering of silver dross would give the pot no value. It's a waste of refining silver.
Right.
You ever, how many of you growing up, listen, this is my era, so please. When I was growing up, everybody wanted a gold chain, right? Man, you was cool if you had your gold chain. The problem was none of us had any money to get a real gold chain. So you go get old fake one, your neck would be green, you look like a leprechaun. It looked real, right? Looked like real gold. On the outside it's painted gold, but it wasn't a real thing. Well, that's what he's the illustration. It's not really silver. It's not a silver pot. It's just covered, not even with real silver, but with the junk that comes off of silver when you refine it. And so some people are flashy, but they have no value, right? And here's the problem. The world magnifies that, makes much of it. Look at this baller. Man, look at all he's got, right? But here's the problem. When you die, somebody else is going to get your stuff. One second after you draw your last breath, nobody's going to care about your bank account. I promise you won't, right? Nobody's going to care about what kind of car you drove. Listen, Jesus doesn't care about how big your house is. What he's got for you up there is going to be way better than what you got down here. So this man full of God, they look good, but at the core, they're worthless. But Jeff, I met some preachers like that. They're showy. They preach the house down. But here's the problem. I've been around them when they're not in the pulpit.
That's right.
That's one of the reasons, Brother Shane, I very rarely go to any of these preacher fellowships anymore. I don't want to be around that mess. You better be careful. Oh, I said the other night, people going to church, they sing the right song, shout, run out. Boy, that's a good church. You don't know what's going on in that church. How many tracts they hand out? Well, now we don't believe in soul winning. What are they doing for the poor? I'll tell you this. There's a church. I won't mention the name. I asked them one time. I asked the guy. I said, listen. I said, what do y'all's church do about outreach? He said, we got a school. Got a what? School. So all the neighborhood kids in the whole county come to your school? Nope. But there's a lot of independent fundamental Baptist church say they believe the Bible, won't go out and hand out a tract. Right? There's a lot of people say they save, love Jesus, want to see people not die and go to hell, but they'll never witness to anybody. There's a lot of churches say they believe in missions, they don't give a dime to missions. You with me? You can't base everything on what things look like. I'd rather, listen, I've been fooled. Brother Jim, we've had people come in. I've known their history. They've gone to this church and that church. Man, they come in shouting, I can sing. They sing the right songs, play piano, whatever. And they're worthless. Then I've met some people that, they don't say amen.
That's right.
Right?
Amen. That's
they're not showy.
That's good. Right.
I'm going to tell you this. Two of the godliest people I've ever met in my life was Johnny Page and his wife.
Yeah. Amen.
And boy, I never heard anything. They'd go out and they'd help people. They'd mow grass for people. They'd take groceries. They'd do all. They didn't come in here and say, they just did it. And I didn't know it till somebody told me. They didn't want no recognition. See, it's when you got people trying to stir stuff up all the time, you better watch out for them. The older I get, listen to me, Listen to what I'm saying. Brother Charles, I just want peace. Amen. I don't like drama. I tell our, you ask our girls, we don't do drama in our house. I don't want, they argue, fight, whatever. That's fine. Go out in the yard and fight. I don't care. I don't like drama in the church.
Amen. Right? Amen.
You can save the drama for your mama, not around here. Right?
Yes.
It shouldn't be that way. We ought to be here to worship God. Yes. Out there, we ought to be out there to serve God. And if God's people would do that, we'd be different than the world. Problem is, we're not different than the world.
Amen.
That's what the world does.
Amen.
That's what God's people do.
Amen.
And so the warning is that we need to be careful of people that are self-important, and we're not to be people of self-importance.
Right.
And then number three, the man who tries to start something. Verse 24 said, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. And when he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Now I like this, verse 27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and flattereth mouth, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So, three things in these verses. First of all, is rage. In other words, verse 24 to 26, a man's heart's boiling with rage. He presents a smiling face and a pleasant face, but inside he's scheming.
Right. Yes, sir.
I always go back. I say it. Most of you won't remember this, but I always think, go back to Eddie Haskell.
Right.
Leave it to Beaver.
Right.
Yes, Mrs. Cleaver.
Yes.
How are you, Mrs. Cleaver?
Yes.
He's always scheming something, wasn't he?
Oh, yes,
there's a lot of... there's a lot of folks, man, they'll smile to your face, but inside they're going, I want to see how I can stick the knife in his back, right? But here's the thing. The Bible tells us he'll be exposed. Then in verse 27 is retribution. Whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein. So understand what this is saying. He's not digging the pit for himself. He's not rolling the stone for somebody, for himself. He's doing it for somebody else. He's wanting to catch somebody else in the pit. And the Bible said, listen, just hold on. There will be retribution. God, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, don't try to get even with people. Just love God. He'll take care of it. Don't try to recompense evil for evil. Right? You just live for God, love people. God will take care of the rest of it. Listen, folks, judgment day's coming.
Yes, sir.
The white throne judgment's coming.
Yes, sir.
The bema seat's coming.
Yes,
people, God's going to, he's going to reveal everything. You don't worry about it.
Right.
You just live for God.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in all this, I got to get even. Don't get caught up in how I've been injured and how I've been hurt. You just live for God, love people, and die to self, and you'll find out one day God's going to set it all straight. And then finally, verse 28 talks about a review. In other words, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So those who stir strife may be forgiven, but you need to realize they rarely ask for forgiveness. In other words, we'll say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't apologize. All right. You ever thought about this? If you wait for them to, you're probably going to be waiting all your life. That bitterness that you keep harboring, waiting on them to repent and have remorse, probably never going to happen. They don't see their error because of their hatred for their victim. They're justified. Well, I wouldn't have done that if he wouldn't have done this. So what you're saying is you committed sin, but it's not your fault that you committed sin because you were forced into it because somebody else did something to you. Where's that in the Bible? We say we're Bible believers, but then we insert our own convictions and standards in there, and we insert our own way of doing things. Say, well, listen, it's got to be okay. I didn't start it. Right? I didn't start it.
Right.
And so we need to be careful of our motives and question the motives of others.
Right. Yes,
now I'm going to say this. I give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes,
I'm a very trusting person.
Yeah.
And I give second chances and third chances. But there'll be a time where I wouldn't. There's people I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Brother Bobby, there's been times in my life, listen, and I smile and take it. And they'll hug you, say, "Preacher, I love you." And I feel that arm come around. I feel the other arm reaching for that fourth and fifth rib.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Now, I'm going to love them. I ain't going to be mean to them.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to be careful.
That's right.
Right? I'm not going to shun them.
Right.
We probably ain't going to hang out every weekend either. That same person, Brother Eddie, they'd say, "Hey, let's me and you go fishing. I got a boat. I ain't going fishing with them. They might kill me and throw me in the water."
You're right.
You got to be careful of people
sir.
That want to start something. Always, you got family like that, it's like they're not happy unless something's going on. They're not happy unless there's something stirred up. The man that tries to start something, the man that tries to stir something, is the man that tries to stop something.
Right.
Be careful of all of them.
Right.
Let's stand together. Bow our heads tonight. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for your attention. I'll say two things. One, I would say that we probably need to get around the altar and ask God to give us some discernment. Some wisdom. And then I'd say, number two, probably need to get around the altar and pray, "God, don't let me be that. Help me to be honest, and help me to have character, and help me to love others and not be someone who values self-importance, but someone that'll bring glory to you." And you know what? It may mean that once in a while you get stepped on. It may mean once in a while that people don't treat you like you deserve to be treated. But see, we got to look at something bigger. We got to look at eternity. The Bible says we're to set our affections on things above. When you do that, you see that what happens here, and you know what, here's the thing. A lot of times people don't even realize what they're doing. Sometimes they do. But that same person that injured you and that same person that seems like they're always stirring stuff up and gossiping about you, what do? Do you pray for them? Do you gossip about them to other people because they're gossiping about you? Sometimes you just got to keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving God, keep serving God, and you just got to wait it out. Just wait it out. Several years ago, wasn't long after we took the church, and I think every pastor has to go through this, maybe. I don't know of any that haven't. This little group wanted me gone. Same group that voted me in wanted me gone. They didn't like the fact that the church grew. They didn't like the fact that there were people coming in and they were losing control of the church. I mean, boy, they were vicious. They didn't have Facebook. We had the dispatch. They wrote articles, gossip, called people. Later, people came to our church and said, I wasn't going to come because I heard. But you know what? Just wait them out. Just keep doing what you're doing, living for God, doing what you're doing. All these years later, guess what? All of us, we're still serving God together. I ain't mad at them. Now, remember, I told you this 1,000 times. I called Dr. Barker. I said, "Brother Alan Barker, This is going on. These people are doing this, and they're saying this. And I'm going to get up Sunday morning. I said, I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to set the record straight. He said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I said, you don't understand what they're saying. He said, I don't care what they're saying. He said, you play dead. You just play dead. And he said, you know what will happen? If you'll play dead, and you don't get a rise out of you, they'll quit messing with you and go somewhere, go mess with somebody else. So thank God he gave me a little bit of brain that I'd listen to an older man of God. And I never said anything. And we're still going. God's faithful, isn't he? Don't let people get your eyes off of him. He must increase. We must decrease. Father, I love you. Thank you for the message tonight. Wasn't easy, but we thank you. It's always beneficial and fruitful in our life. Let us be an example of Christ in our everyday life to others. Thank you for loving us, that you didn't give up on us. May we be like you to others. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray.